Lying off the southern tip of India, the tropical island of Sri Lanka has fascinated travellers for centuries with its palm-fringed beaches, diverse landscapes and historical monuments. But the island has been scarred by a long and bitter civil war arising out of ethnic tensions between the majority Sinhalese and the Tamil minority in the northeast. After more than 25 years of violence, the conflict ended just over a year ago, at least militarily, in May 2009, when government forces seized the last area controlled by Tamil Tiger rebels. However, some 80,000 people displaced by the conflict are still detained in government camps. Susie Hodges looks into why it's taking so long to resettle them.
From last year, May onwards, the people are coming back from the war-torn areas.
Father George Sigamani Pillai is the National Director of Caritas Sri Lanka.
And in these camps, almost there were about 300,000 people. And from like say, that time onwards, Caritas was responding to the needs of the people in the camps. And especially we were providing the food as well as psychosocial support, as well as we were supporting the education of the children, those who were inside the camp, and also medical assistance. And whatever the possible way, we were really looking after the people, those who were in the camp. And from last December onwards, the people also started to move from the camps to their original lands or to their original places. But it was quite a slow process because if you look at the present, the people, those who are inside the camp is something around 60 to 70,000 people. And almost about 250,000 people have gone back to their original lands, but still most of the people cannot start their lives because lack of a livelihood, and also the houses are destroyed, so they have to really put up the houses as soon as possible. And meantime, the demining process is also taking place, but it's also quite slow. So the people also cannot go for their farming, neither for their fishing or for livelihood. That's quite a challenging task that the people are faced at the moment.
The government originally said after the war that it would have resettled all these people by the autumn of 2009, within 6 months, that is, of the end of the conflict. Now, as you say, there's between 60 and 70,000 still there in the camps, and it recently made a new pledge to resettle these people within the next 6 months. Do you think it's likely to keep that promise, as you say, given that it perhaps made some rather overambitious promises before?
One thing is that it's like, say, even the people, those who are inside the camp, are also people who went to their original places and came back, some of them, because that they found that it's difficult for them to start their lives back at home. That's one of the reasons, because the lands are heavily mined and hardly anything is left. So that's one of the reasons. And even if you take this Nandikadal area where the final battle took place, that area is still under the military of the Sri Lankan government. So that area is highly restricted movements in those areas. So still, people of those areas, as well as, like as I said, where the areas are not cleared, are still remaining in the camps. But for them, the movements are quite free. They can just, if they want to go and just work and come back to their camps, that is also allowed for them. The Sri Lankan government also got a kind of a pledge from government of India to rebuild about 50,000 houses, and also from the World Bank about 60,000 houses. But the latest survey also shows that we need about 350,000 to 400,000 houses to be built. So I think that government is also looking forward how to really meet all these expectations.
What are conditions like in the camp? Have they improved now? Presumably there's not so much of a problem of overcrowding, because I know that the government did come under quite a lot of criticism for conditions inside the camps immediately after the end of the war in 2009.
Yeah, exactly. Say, immediately after the war, like it was a kind of exodus, like say, people were just coming to the camps in hundreds and thousands and so on. So the government also was not prepared to accommodate all these people, those who came like a flock. Now it's something like only 60,000 to 70,000, as I say. So there's enough space, and also like the facilities what the people are also getting is much better than in the early stages. As I said, in the early stages, it was so difficult for the people to cope up with the overcrowded in those camps, as well as with the other facilities.
And what do you think are their most pressing material needs now?
Most important thing is just some sort of assistance for them to start their livelihood. That's the most important thing that they want at the moment. So most of these people were fishermen, so they need, like as you said, they lost everything. They need a boat or a fishing net and also some other equipments for fishing. That is one thing. As for the farmers, they need a kind of a support to start to go for their farming or for their cultivation. So that's also another way that we can support these people.
And what about the process of reconciliation? This was an incredibly long civil war that began in 1983. Do people still harbour a lot of resentment against the other side?
Yeah, it's kind of a wound, what I say is that, because it's both sides that got wounded, because if you take the northern side perspective, they also lost their family members, their fathers, mothers, children, and brothers, sisters, everybody. If you take even in the southern side also, people also lost due to so many reasons. The attacks that took place in Colombo as well as in other areas, they also lost a lot of people. So a lot of people have their grievances, like say, from both sides, from north as well as from the south. So it's also a very prominent, important role the church should play at this moment, because the church only can really build this bridge. That's one important. So we are also trying our best to go for initiatives on healing and reconciliation. So we also already built up some good relationship with the interreligious groups, especially with the Buddhist monks. And we are also trying to address the people in the north, especially some of the religious leaders, especially the Catholic as well as Hindu religious leaders. And we are going for different dialogues, because religious leaders can play a prominent role in the healing and reconciliation process.
And so how do people there see the future of Sri Lanka? I mean, there's not any risk of the country falling into conflict again, but how about building the peace, a lasting peace?
Yeah. One thing is, when you speak about peace, that there are different aspects of peace. Because, like, say, when you speak of peace means that there is no any more war, only that everybody is living in harmony and also people in good terms. So I think those are only words. What I believe here is we should understand each and every other person's feeling. And also we should be able to respect one another's rights. Those are most important things. So these things should be to start from the grassroots level. And also it should go to the minds of the children, because most of the children, those who are young as well as they are old, for the last 30 years experience only the violence, crying, and also the war and death, all those things only the people, especially the young generation, experience. So I think it's important also to bring this the notion of peace to the minds of these younger children. That's important. So we also, in all the levels, even in the school, like say levels, we are also trying to promote this ideology of peace.
You've been listening to Father George Sigamone Pillay, National Director of Caritas Sri Lanka, speaking there to Susie Hodges.